Testing. There we go. Good morning. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for this morning, God, and we pray as we come to your word, Lord, we ask for you to speak. Father, speak powerfully into our hearts. May we open up our hearts, God. May we humble ourselves before your word and learn what it is that you have to say and carry it out in our lives. May we live our life according to what you have told us, God. We thank you. We pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 67. Psalm 67. God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce, God. Our God blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Amen. The beginning of this psalm actually is reminiscent of number 6 with the Aaronic blessing. That's a blessing or the benediction that Pisam gives every after every message that he gives. So he actually quotes number 6 in case you didn't know where that comes from. And so the psalmist is picking up on this theme. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. And in Numbers, the context or what God is teaching Moses to teach Aaron is really more so the, this is how you are to bless your people. He's teaching Aaron, this is how you are to speak to your people and to bless them. And so the blessing in number 6 is primarily for the nation of Israel. You can read that later. But in Psalm 67, in this context, the context sets this blessing as more so a call to missions, in that this psalm is not directed for the nation of Israel itself, but if you look at just the entire passage, it speaks about the nations, that this blessing is for the nations through Israel, because psalms were written for Israel. I mean, you read verses 2 to 5, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. You know, whether this is countries or people groups or sub-ethnicities or, you know, any kind of social or cultural group, this word nations incorporates or it includes. And so there's two things that I want to draw out from this psalm. The first one is that, I mentioned it briefly, is that the blessing of God does not terminate on the Israelites. And what I mean by that is that God's blessing is for the Israelites. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament, where he chooses the Israelites and he blesses them. But it's as the Israelites were his chosen nation, they weren't the only ones to receive his blessing. Israel was God's tool or vehicle to spread this blessing for the rest of the nations. And this call comes in very clearly in Genesis 12 when he speaks to Abraham. He says, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And as Israel is the manifestation of the descendants of Abraham, through Israel, all the nations will be blessed. So the idea that Israel is God's chosen nation is true, but it doesn't stop with them. They were to propagate this blessing for the rest of the nations. They were called with a specific purpose. In verse 2, again, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. If you think about it, as a child, how did you learn to use chopsticks? Did you read a manual? Did you look at the back of the Chinese takeout chopstick things, and it shows you the manual how you grip the chopsticks. And I tried learning that when I was a teenager, and I'm like, I can't do it like this. I actually hold chopsticks like a child, improperly. You know how you're supposed to, I don't know, use your middle finger to kind of have the lever. I don't do it like that. I basically just hold it like I would as a pen, and when things are too hard to actually pick up properly, I just stab it. It's like, ka-cha! And then, like, yes, victory. But as a child, you learn chopsticks through imitation, through learning through other people, through observing. You don't read it in a manual. You observe. You watch people, how they use chopsticks. Apparently, I learned from my cousins, so I can surmise that they hold chopsticks in a similar way that I do. Like people that don't hold chopsticks properly. So the assumption from, or the question then into this psalm is, how were the nations to learn, or how were the nations to know how to praise God if they weren't taught? Because it says in verse 3, let the people praise you, let the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And so the psalmist has this assumption that these people were being taught. He wasn't telling Israel, you guys should teach them. He already had this assumption. You guys are teaching them. That's why they are praising you. Or that's why they're praising God. That's why they're singing with joy. He had this assumption that the blessing that God has given them, that Israel would praise and shout for joy in such a way that the nations would see. And through this observation and taking part, that they would learn how to worship as well. So this blessing that God gives that causes Israel, the nations of Israel, to rejoice and to be grateful and thankful, the nations would see this too and imitate and emulate this behavior. Now, as a tangent, this kind of teaches us that evangelism doesn't begin with Jesus' Great Commission. Evangelism doesn't find its origin in the New Testament, but rather the Old Testament. So that's the first thing. The blessing of God does not terminate with the Israelites. The second thing speaks more to, I titled this, Worship, Not Missions. A lot of what gets lost when we talk about missions and as like a concept or something that we do is, you know, when we think about what is the purpose of missions, like when we go on missions, why do we do it? Like, what is our objective when we go on missions? And when I think about the mission trips I've been on, mission trip, singular, or some of the other outreaches that I've done, I think, like, why did I go on these initiatives? Why did I go out, you know, to the cut rooms, or why do we do outreaches? And I think a lot of, I guess, the goal is to either make people's lives better, to help them out, you know, to somehow encourage them, which is good, right? All these things that I'm listening, it isn't bad, but I think lost in, I guess, at least for me, why we do missions, it isn't really, I think, the thrust of what God wants us to do. You know, we can go to Jesus' Great Commission. You know, we are to make disciples. And I think for us, a lot of times in Western Christianity, we have this idea, or we make disciples. We got to convert people, tell people about Jesus and the gospel, and then they become Christian, and their lives are suddenly made better. And this is true. Right? But I think to have that perspective puts us in the wrong kind of frame of mind when we think about it, because it becomes very, like, we just got to make Christians. We got to make, convert people and, like, done, right? And move on to the next thing. And you can kind of see this in Jesus' Great Commission that he says, make disciples. It doesn't say make Christians or convert people. You make disciples, meaning you walk with these people. You mentor them. You share in their lives, just like Jesus shared in his disciples' lives for 3 years that he was on earth. Maybe we have this, in our minds, we have this kind of formula. We have Christians plus missions equals more Christians. And more Christians plus missions equals the return of Jesus. Right? Because we propagate this message and we create more and more Christians. And a whole entire earth hears a message and then Jesus comes back. again, it's not wrong, but maybe our perspective is a little off. Because if you look at it from this way, in Colossians 3:2, Paul writes, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth." Okay, the things above, right? Things that last, things that are eternal. And if you take this verse and you look at missions, right? Missions doesn't last. And so I may be drawing out here or stretching this kind of application a little bit, but you think about it, missions don't last. So why are we focusing so much on missions? Like, you know, I'm not saying we don't focus on missions, but hear me out. Just wait for it, okay? Missions don't last. However, what does last is worship. Worship lasts because in heaven, we will still be worshiping. And so it's not to say we do away with missions, but in how we go about missions or how we look at missions. John Piper says that missions exist because worship doesn't. So if you think about it, if Christians worship, and I don't mean just sing songs, but we worship in every single area of our lives, that we, in every aspect, everything that we do is geared towards the worship of God. If we do that, then the nations, or when we worship, right, God will bless us. When we order our lives, I'm not just like sing songs and praise him, but when we order our lives according to how God has, you know, how God wants us to live, then God will bless us. Basically, that's the entire, not first five books, but Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is instruction for the Israelites on how to worship God, how to relate to God in actual religious worship, how to praise him, how to come before him in the temple, how to relate to one another, how to act in business, because that for them was worship. It was a holistic idea of worship. And if they were to do that, then they would be blessed by God. You can read Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29, 30. It's this whole idea. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you follow me and my commands, you will be blessed. If you don't, then there will be curses. And so when we worship holistically, then the nation, we will be blessed, and the nations will see just how blessed we are because we follow God. But because we don't worship with all of our hearts, or we don't worship in every area of our life, then the blessings of God are not as apparent as they could be. And the nations, therefore, do not understand or know or see the fullness of the blessings of God in our life. They don't really understand the blessedness of living under God's care. If we worship, the nations would see. If we worship in every single area of our lives, we will be blessed. And the people around us, the people that don't know him, the people that even might know him, are on the fence. They will see just how much worship impacts our life. See, so then missions isn't to help, or again, it's not to do away with missions, but missions then is a way of teaching people how to worship God, how to glorify him. PSAM even said it on Sunday. The purpose of the church is not to make you feel better, not to help you out. But the purpose of the church is to worship God. And in that, then people would see, oh man, God is worth worshiping. Because not like I'm fulfilled when I worship God, or I find fulfillment when I worship God. And again, not just singing songs. Maybe that's one of the things that we have to get over is like, oh, we identify worship with, let's come and sing a few songs and read words off a PowerPoint. But in every area of our life, and when we do that, people would see God is glorified. He glorifies himself through us. He blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him, may know him. We are blessed to be a blessing. So as Ryan comes up and leads us in worship today, let's let Holy Spirit speak to us. Let's just pray and ask him, Lord, how can I order my life in such a way that I'm worshiping you in every area? Sometimes I think about the laws in the Old Testament, and it's so tedious at times. It goes into these slightest details, and we get so bored by them. We're like, why does God have to give the slightest detail? And you think about it, like, well, because there's so many things in our lives that we just, like, it's almost impossible for us to have a book that tells us what we should do or how God would want us to live in every single area of our lives. And sometimes I do wish there was a guidebook. Like, how does God think about social media, you know? Or how does God think about online dating? So, I mean, those are just some kind of things that you can think about, how you can order your life according to God's ways and God's principles. So let's pray this morning. Thank you. think it's funny that Brian chose still to sing. That comes from Psalm 46:10, where it goes, "I will be still and know that I am God." The second half of the verse, you know, speaks to us too. "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See, it's His call for us to worship Him, and not just us, but for us to be exalted among the nations, so that they too would know. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, may You speak to us. May You guide us. May we order our lives. May we live down to the tiniest detail according to how You want us to live. That the people around us, that the nations may know who You are, God, through our worship of You. So that they too will be blessed in the same way that we have been blessed. Materially, spiritually, Father, that they too would one day come to see You, that they too would one day be in Your presence. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for those who are sick and have also yet to receive the word of Christ. Let's pray for the friends and family that are praying for them. Let's pray for perseverance in their prayers. And let's pray for these people. Let's lift up those who are suffering from other infirmities, non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and opportunities to come for our brothers and sisters. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Filipino, and SP New York. Let's pray for all these branches of SP, that God moves powerfully within these congregations. Pray for our education ministry, SP Kids, SP Youth, and the college students. Let's pray for all the teachers that are involved in these ministries as they prepare for the retreat. Let's pray for these kids as they come to the retreat that they too will experience God in a powerful way, and that they too will be touched by the love of God during this retreat. Let's pray for the IP, the Well in the River, prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray that as people come to get prayed for, that God will move powerfully and deeply and bring healing, not just physically, but spiritually as well, and bring healing into their hearts. So our outreaches that are happening tonight, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for our members as they go out, that they just worship God and they show people how to worship God, how they worship God, and how God blesses them. Pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's pray for God to come into these house churches and just be amongst the fellowship tonight. Last but not least, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Brian. He gets in tomorrow morning. Let's pray for the logistics, people's schedules, buses, visas. Let's pray for people. Number of people are getting sick and are having to drop out of the retreat. So let's pray for everyone's health as well, and that that the enemy's plans will not come in the way between people and encountering God at the retreat. Father, we thank you for today, God. We pray, Lord, as we go off into our days, as we go off into our workplaces, God, and into our homes, Lord, that we lift your name up high, God. That we lift up your name like a banner, Father, like a flag over us, Lord, so that the nation, so that the people will know who you are, God, and why we come to worship you, Father. May we show them tangibly, God, the transformation that you have had on our lives, God. Help us live according to your ways, Lord. Help us glorify you, to worship you, Father. We thank you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.
Sometimes you're further than the moon. Sometimes you're closer than my skin. And you surround me like a winter fog. You've come and burned me